Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, I like being blessed, don't you? I like the blessed life. And people like the blessed life. Well, the more you know about it, the more you learn about it, the more you'll like it. And then you'll pursue it with everything you have. The only life for me is the blessed life. And so, just a quick review. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. The Lord said, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless." Everybody say bless. "He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." So when the Lord blesses, something goes. When the blessing comes in, something goes. One of the things that goes is what? Sickness. He said, "I will take sickness away from you." He said, "He will bless you and take sickness away from the midst of you." So being blessed is being sickness free. So I like it already, don't you? I like being blessed already. Then Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verse 15, it says, "You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness." Everybody say all sickness.
All sickness.
Man, that's the what we would consider big sicknesses and little sicknesses. That's all sicknesses, right? He says he will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, of the world, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. So notice again, he says, you shall be blessed, right? Let's go to the beginning. You shall be blessed. And then he says, verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and all the terrible diseases of Egypt. So being blessed is having all sickness and all disease taken away from you. So does God want you blessed? Or does he want you cursed? Want you maybe just a little blessed, a little cursed? You know God, God gets it mixed up once in a while, right? He's a little lukewarm, right? He likes a little of this, a little bit of that. No. God's all in when it comes to the blessing. Now, we got to get all in when it comes to the blessing. Get in faith. Get in faith concerning the blessing of God and knowing without a shadow of a doubt, it's God's will for me to be blessed, which means, number one, it's God's will for me to have no sickness or disease in my life. Then in review, looking at that word blessed in the original Hebrew language, it means to be endued with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, productiveness, longevity, that's long life, to be possessed with power for abundant and effective living. I like that, to be possessed with power for abundant and effective living. That's what it means to be blessed. Again, to be endued with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, richness, longevity. And then, of course, you see that in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, where it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." So when God increases you, there's no sorrow added to it. When men try to increase themselves, many times they add a lot of sorrows to it. And the New International Version of Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. Isn't that good? He brings wealth. Glory to God. What does? Oh, your hard work and working overtime and striving and struggling and ruining your family to get money. Is that what does it? No, it's the blessing. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord does these things. You know, something we did not look at was over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The children of Israel had found the ark of the covenant that was made by Moses. And now it's years later. It was taken captive by Israel's enemies, the Philistines. Anyway, they reclaimed it, brought it back into the camp of the Israelites. And of course, the ark represented the presence and glory of God, the manifested awesomeness of God. God said that his presence would be on that ark, that he would be wherever that ark goes, that he'd be in manifestation. His life, his power would be radiating forth from it. And so, man, they got it back. They were so excited. They brought it into the camp. But then they were irreverent around that glory, and it actually caused some problems for them. So David sent the ark out of the camp until they figured out what happened and how to properly treat the ark. And so they sent it over to this gentleman's house by the name of Obed-Edom. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6 in verse 11. It says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. Not very long, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God, or because of the presence of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And of course, when they brought the ark in, they brought it in completely different. Man, there was praise and worship going on, and they had sacrifices being made before the ark and so forth. But they recognized, we're talking about in 3 months. The man was blessed. His whole household, everything that he had was blessed. It was such a big blessing that everyone knew about it. Everybody heard about it. It got back to the king. It got back to the king that, hey, Obed-Edom, he is blessed. All that belongs to him is blessed. That was a good-sized blessing that was in his house. And of course, see, God himself is the source of the blessing. His presence, his spirit, his life is the source of the blessing. And where he is in manifestation, his power flows and things change. Things happen. Things don't remain the same. He says, you shall be blessed above all peoples back there in Deuteronomy. Not to make you better than them, but for them. So that they can see the blessing of God on your life and hear from you about God and how good he is. And it's all in the name of Jesus. And then they can come. Right? He needs to lift us up above the people for the people. That's why he wants to lift us up. That's why he wants to elevate us. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we are the body of Christ. We are to be being lifted up. We're to be being raised up. We're to be being increased. Who knows? Maybe there were some sick people in Obed-Edom's house. And then they brought the ark in. And next thing you know, everybody was healthy. Everybody was healed. Because we know when the blessing comes in, sickness goes. Everything that's a curse, all demonic oppression has to go when the blessing of God comes in. And so we saw that with King David, that he had the blessing on his life and therefore did great things and also prevailed Isaac blessed his son Jacob. It was so real that Esau fought and cried because he had missed out on this blessing that Jacob had taken from him. And of course, it all goes back to Abraham. Abraham, when God said in Genesis 12, I will bless you. I will increase you. I'll make your name great. In other words, I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to multiply you. Why? Because I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And just one chapter later in Genesis chapter 13, it says that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Because of the blessing. And it showed you, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. It makes rich. It multiplies you. It increases you. It lifts you up. So man, we want the blessing. We want the blessing on our life. And what's awesome about it is that we can bless ourselves in the name of the Lord. We can bless ourselves, and you need to bless yourself regularly and not feel funny about it. Great scripture over in Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, verse 16. He says, so that he who blesses himself, everybody say himself. He who blesses himself in the earth, that's where we live today, shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from your eyes. So you could just bless yourself in the Lord your God. Bless yourself. And I mean, whatever was in your past that was anything less than a blessing, it'll be so far removed from your life as you increase in the blessing of God that it'll just be forgotten. It'll be just forgotten. It'll just be far removed. Hallelujah. Far removed from your eyes. Woo! Hallelujah. How many people would like maybe some things in your life right now to be far removed from your life? I mean, just totally forgotten about it. Maybe in 3 months. Maybe in 3 months, you're so blessed, you can't even remember the tough time you were having 3 months ago. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so stirred up about this. The Amplified Classic of Isaiah 65:16, a portion of it. It says, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. I'm going to stop right there. By saying, you bless yourself by saying. Watch what you say about yourself. Watch what you say about yourself. Only say what God says about you. You are beloved. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. The Lord is with me, not against me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And on and on and on. Just bless yourself all day long. Speak the word. Speak blessings over your life and speak blessings over other people's lives. If you care about people, don't fight with them. Don't tear them down. Don't try to point out to them everything that bothers you. Everything they do that bothers you. As people tend to do in the flesh, you know, people they love the most, they curse the most. They're always speaking the negative things about them, you know, because that's what's driving me crazy. So I got to get you fixed. So I got to point out to you what your problem is. So you're not my problem anymore. So I don't have you as a problem anymore. But what are you supposed to do? Don't condemn and point out their faults and tell them what their problem is to make their problem go away. Make their problem go away by putting a blessing on their life. Because that drives out the problem or troublemaker. And who's the troublemaker? Yeah, it's not flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but demonic principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. Isn't that right? So don't be wrestling with flesh and blood and making it worse. Just rise up in the blessing and speak a blessing. Say, you know, you're a blessing. Right in the midst of you not feeling blessed by him. But you want to be blessed by him. But you can't be blessed by him, but tell him, you're not blessing me. You get blessed by him by making him a blessing. Put the blessing on him. Because if you put the blessing on him, they become a blessing. If they become a blessing, you're going to get blessed by them. Thus reaping what you sow. Sow the blessing, reap the blessing. Sow the blessing, reap the blessing. Can you say amen? Sow the blessing, reap the blessing. Hallelujah. Have faith in your words. Believe in your words. Know that you can bless other people. And you can bless yourself. You know, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't like yourself, woe to everybody else. Isn't that right? If you don't like yourself, woe to everybody else. You know, like I always say, people that are condemned, condemn people. Condemned people, condemn people. You know, so people walk around in condemnation, guess what they're going to do to other people? They can only do unto others how they see themselves. They can only do unto others as they see themselves. So you can't be any better towards others than you really are, than you see yourself. So we love others, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's the same thing with the blessing. You want to be a blessing to others? Well, how blessed are you? If you don't see yourself very blessed, you can walk around all day and go, God bless you. God bless you. And you won't have any power in your God bless you. You'll have no power in your God bless you because you don't even see yourself blessed. So how much of a God blessing can you give to somebody else? So to be a blessing to somebody else, we got to convince ourselves that we are. Come on. We are blessed. We're blessed. And the more you see how blessed you are, the more confidence you have to be able to be a blessing. To speak a blessing over other people expecting results. Because we speak in faith. We expect results. We don't just have vain words. We don't just do things vainly. We don't just do things just to do it. We do it because we believe in it. We believe in our words. We believe in what's working in our life. We believe in who is in our life. God is in our life. And so we're able to release that blessing to others. But we have to continuously be blessing ourselves to get to the place where we can really be a greater blessing to others. So if you're failing to be a blessing to others, stop blessing yourself more. Stop blessing yourself more. Speak blessings over yourself. Speak God's word over yourself. And as I said, you can bless yourself in the Lord. That's perfectly legal to bless yourself. You just can't live for yourself. That's what we're saying. You know, we're including other people as we're blessed. We're able to be a blessing. God wants to raise us up and multiply us, not to make us better than people, but it's for people. See, because it's all about love. All these things work by love. Selfishness short circuits the blessing. So you can't just stop with blessing, seeing yourself. You got to see out beyond yourself. I got to be a blessing. I've been created to be a blessing. Oh, I bless myself in the Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name. I bless myself. I expect to increase. I expect to prosper. Why? Because I expect to do more for the kingdom of God and help more people. It's not just about when I finally get that nice thing, then I'll be happy. No, you won't see the blessing work in your life. Why? You're short-circuiting the blessing through selfishness. Selfishness short-circuits the blessing. But love completes it or brings it to fullness. Love brings the blessing to fullness or fulfillment. Love is blessing conduit. It's conduit. Where love goes, the blessing flows. Because love is the conduit. Love is the conduit. In other words, get out of the selfishness. Get over into love. Think out beyond yourself. You've got to be blessed. You have got to be lifted up. You have got to be exalted. You have to be increased. Why? Because there's a world out there in desperate need of what you have and who you are in Christ Jesus. The world needs us. The world needs us. You can't stay just getting by. You've got to be raised up above all people. You got to be raised up above all people for all people to be able to help all people. Can you say amen? Amen. The blessing of God thrives in an atmosphere of love. Sickness and disease can't live in a love environment. Hallelujah. If you get out of that selfishness, praise God. Sickness and disease, it can't exist. It can't exist. Being unlovely is a root to all kinds of demonic oppression, all kinds of issues in life. Being unlovely, getting out of love. Why? Because when we get out of love, we get away from God. We get away from Him. So one of the first things we always need to check up on in life is how's the love of God doing in my life? How's the love flowing? And one of the ways you can catch yourself is if you find that you're using the word I and me a lot. Me. What about me? Me. I and me is a great way to catch yourself in selfishness and fix it. Say, oh, you, us, we, us and we, you and me, you and me. We start emphasizing others, start caring about others. I just feel, yeah, but how does everybody else around you feel? Huh? I don't know about everybody else, it's me. See, we got to come out of me and get into the we, right? If you're moping around and it's bringing everybody else down, then we should need to be aware of that, right? And fix the moping around for the sake of other people. For the sake of other people, see? So it's for love's sake. For love's sake, we want to be blessed. For love's sake, we want to do the right things in life. All the promises, including healing, are all fulfilled in our life through the love of God. Because again, love brings all the promises of God. It brings the word of God to fulfillment. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 in verse 14. For all the law, everybody say all the law, is what? Fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Let's not consume one another. Let's love one another. You know, it never works. You bite somebody, more than likely they're going to bite you back. You know, a lot of times people just stopped and thought about, what kind of response will I get if I say this? If I correct them on this, what kind of response am I going to get? But a lot of times people don't think. They don't think. And they go ahead and they correct. And to the person they're correcting, they're wanting to help. It's like they just got bit. It's like somebody just bit them. So guess what they do? They come back and find something wrong with you. It doesn't work out usually. It usually doesn't work out to point out other people's flaws, to be a fault finder. It usually turns into a biting and devouring contest. Who's going to consume the other one first? Kill or be killed. Consume or be consumed. Beware lest you devour or consume each other. But notice verse 14 again, for all the law. Well, the law is the word of God. And the law is primarily talking about the Old Testament, but of course there's laws in the New Testament too. But it's all fulfilled in one word, in one thing. Love. Love brings it all to fulfillment. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So again, who's your neighbor? It isn't necessarily the person living next to you. A neighbor is anybody that you're around. Maybe somebody you're working with, someone you're driving your car next to, you know, whoever's next to you. You know, love doesn't do anything that is hurtful or harmful to somebody else. Because love is considerate of the people around. Aren't you glad God is considerate of you? Aren't you glad He didn't overlook you? And I wouldn't want him to overlook me for 5 seconds. That'd be enough for me to be killed. 5 seconds, absent of God, is all it takes to be dead. Because he is life. And he is love. And thank God, he does not overlook us. Not even for a moment. He's very attentive to us. He's very sensitive to us. Very caring to us. That's why Jesus said, you don't have to make these long prayers when you pray. He said, your heavenly Father, he knows what you have need of before you even ask. God's on it. God's on it. On what? He's on you, man. He's on it. He's on whatever it is that concerns you. He's on it. That's comforting. God's sensitive to us. So we need to be sensitive to other people and do no harm to anybody. How's this going to affect them? How's this going to affect them? And we watch how we treat other people. That's what love does. And therefore, love is, once again, the fulfillment of the law. Love brings fulfillment. How people want to live a fulfilled life. Love brings fulfillment. How do you think we live a fulfilled life? By love. Love fulfills. Love fulfills your life. And it never disappoints. We see that over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Let's look at it. Romans 5. Love fulfills, and love never disappoints. Love's exciting. I said love's exciting. See, you got excited when we talked about the blessing. Then you got to watch. You start talking about love, and that little excitement starts falling off. Oh, I like hearing about the blessing. Blessed! No love, no bless. No love, just a mess. The absence of love will cause a mess. But love will cause you to be blessed. Hallelujah. That's good right there. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. Because, why won't hope disappoint? Why won't the things you're hoping for, the things you're believing for, the things you're expecting. Is anybody hoping for some good things? Has anybody got some hope about you? Some hope about your future, about your life? How do you know it won't disappoint? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Because love has come. Because love is the motive behind all that I'm hoping for. And not selfishness. Selfishness is not the motive behind what I'm hoping for. Because love is the motive behind what I'm hoping for, then I know what I'm hoping for will come to fulfillment. It will be fulfilled, and I will not be disappointed. I will not be disappointed. Isn't that an awesome guarantee? When you have love, there'll be no disappointment of what you are believing God for, what you're hoping for in life. Love will see you through to the completion of what you're believing God for. Love will see you through to the completion of what you are believing God for. Love fulfills, brings to completeness, or brings to fullness what God has said. So it's going to see you through the things you're hoping God for. And we're in a time right now where God wants to bring the things that we've been hoping for, the things we've been believing for, the things we've been studying and reading about. God wants these things to come into completion. He wants them to be fulfilled now. He wants to see things happen now. God's a now kind of God. I said he's a now kind of God. Now I'm going to take you back to a few Wednesday nights ago, back to Ezekiel chapter 12. And it says in verse 21, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel? which says, the days are prolonged and every vision or every prophetic word fails. Tell them therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment, everybody say fulfillment, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Verse 25, for I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. In other words, you will not be disappointed. No more disappointments. Isn't this exciting? No more disappointments. And the word that I speak, the Lord says, will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, how many people know not believing God is rebellious? Not believing him is actually rebellious. See, people don't realize that. And that's why people make light of doubt and unbelief. They make light of it. It's no light matter when it comes to God. It's a big deal. It's a betraying of God. It's betrayal. To doubt him, to disbelieve him, is to betray him. Not to trust him is to think evil of him. To not yield to him in receiving is to reject him through unbelief. It's rebellious. See? So we can't tolerate any of that nonsense in our life. We're not going to be a rebellious house. Right? We're not going to be a bunch of doubters, unbelievers. We're believers. We believe God. It'll be exactly the way he said it. When? Now. Now. So you can't keep putting this thing off and be in faith. Faith doesn't keep putting things off indefinitely into the future. Well, someday, in the sweet by and by, we'll know then that God is good. That's being rebellious. That religious nonsense is rebellious right there. He says, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Don't you love that? I will say it and do it. I will do what I say. See, when you get in God's word, you got to realize God actually does this. He actually does what he says. So, you know, we hear about all this healing and miracles and deliverances and all these things and everything else, and we tell the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and all these things about God and his deliverance. But nobody actually believes it. That he actually does it, you know. It's kind of like going to the movies. You just hear a good story. Don't really believe that Darth Vader's real. You go there, you go, that's a good movie. But you don't go home looking for Darth Vader. Do you? Luke! Oh, I thought that might have been Luke Skywalker. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. You don't do that. Because you know it's not real. Well, when we go home, how do we act? And what happens if somebody actually comes up to us and says, man, God showed up in my house the other day and spoke to me. Oh, okay. That's a heretic. A lunatic. That's what a lot of the church world will do. They won't believe it. They'll mock you for actually talking about the God who talks about himself as one who manifests himself in our life. They'll look at you like you're crazy when you talk about, man, I felt God all over me. I heard God speak to me and direct me. God told me this and showed me that. So people think you're crazy. And I'm talking about Bible reading, teaching people. It's rebellion. It's religious rebellion. I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord. What you read about is who you can expect in your life. I said, who you read about is who you can expect to show up in your life. The one that you see doing the things that he does in this Bible is the one who still does these things in your life. Verse 26, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees, that Ezekiel is seeing, is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Amen. Now, this is not some kind of special thing that God decided to do in Ezekiel's day. That he was going to actually show up, not postpone his word, but do it. This is who he is. This is who he is. What keeps postponing his word from coming to pass in our life is our doubt and unbelief. Our doubt and unbelief is what causes things to be pushed off because we're pushing him away by saying things like this. Well, it'll happen someday. Well, I just believe that that word is for someday out there in the future. Some people go as far as to put it off into when they get to heaven. All the blessings of God are when we get to heaven. Meanwhile, he said, but he who's in the earth will bless himself. Not he who's in heaven. But they'll take the blessing and they'll take all these things and they'll put it off until someday in the sweet by and by or some way out in the future. With no date on it. And so, you know, when does it ever happen? Because the future is always the future. The future is never the present. So you just never get there. You just, year after year, put it off, put it off, put it off. Now, a lot of times, people get into that because of discouragement. Because of disappointment in their life, they start putting God's promises off. They start thinking, they start rationalizing with, well, I haven't seen these things happen in my life, you know, and so, you know, I was believing for several years for certain things. I haven't seen it yet. So then when they hear a prophetic word, they hear of a promise of God, their reaction is to just say, well, it's everything now. Everything is off in the future, which means they've shifted gears and they're no longer in faith. Now they're living a life of putting God off in the future. Which is not a life of faith. So God is telling Ezekiel, you tell them, I'm saying this because I'm going to do this now. Get them back into the now mode. Tell them I'm a God that acts now. See, the Bible says in Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. That's what God says. How many times do we hear, well, God in his timing. Well, I believe God will do it, but it'll be in his timing. When's that? Oh, nobody knows. Well, people that read the Bible know. I mean, the people that know the Bible know. Because the Bible says now's the acceptable time. Today's the day. That's what the Bible says. So why are we making things up, saying, well, someday in his timing. We already know his timing. It's now. God's not looking to postpone your blessing. God's not putting off your blessing. He's not putting it off. God wants you to have it now. He wants it to come to pass now. Verse 23, tell them therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand and the fulfillment of every vision. Everybody say the fulfillment. Now's the time of fulfillment. Now's the time of fulfillment. What brings the promises of God to fulfillment? Love. Love fulfills. Love brings the promises of God to fulfillment. Love removes postponement. Now we need to be getting, now we should be getting excited about love. Because love stops the postponement of the blessings of God in our life. Did you get that? Love stops the postponement of the blessing of God in our life and brings it to fulfillment. Causes it to come to pass, gets it in the here and now. What does? Love. Love gets it in the here and now. But again, dead faith puts the promises of God off until someday in the sweet by and by. Faith just becomes a form when we really don't believe, we receive what we believe, what we say we believe. If we really believe, then we believe we receive what we believe. If we believe the promises of God, we receive the promises of God when? When we believe the promises of God. We believe or receive when we believe. That's what we believe. We believe God's word, we receive it. We see that over in Mark 11:24. Putting things off indefinitely into the future stops faith from flowing. God's got to get people back into the now to get them back into faith. Ezekiel 25:23 from the Complete Jewish Bible, the CJB. He says, tell them the time has come for the fulfillment of every vision. Hallelujah. It's the time of fulfillment, which means it's the time of, it's the time of love. Because love brings fulfillment, right? Love brings all the promises of God, brings it out of postponement, brings it into fulfillment. So the time of fulfillment has come. If the time of fulfillment has come, then love has come. And when love comes, what do you have? You've got fulfillment of the blessing of God, the promise of God in our life. So what do you got? Perfection. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting in verse 4, he begins to describe love and all the wonderful things about love. And then he says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. What's the perfect that he's talking about here? He's talking about love. Love is the perfect. Love is God's perfection. Because again, if you're walking in love, you fulfill all the law and all the commandments. Well, that's walking perfect. Can we walk perfect? Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Another religious lie. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Get that bumper sticker off your car if it's on there. I don't know if it is or not, but if it is, you know what to do with it. Put a bumper sticker over it. It says, Christians are perfect because of God's love. Right? Because when you're walking in love, you're fulfilling all the law, all the commandments. That's walking perfectly. That's walking perfectly. You're fulfilling all the law, all the commandments, all the requirements of God's word, of God's righteousness. You're walking in perfect righteousness. You're walking in holiness when you're walking in love. So God's word is being fulfilled in your life because of love. So when you're walking in love, you're walking in perfection. Can we have a perfect life? Or is that just Hollywood? That's just a Walt Disney thing, right? No, thank God we can have a perfect life. How? Have a love life. How's your love life doing? How's your love life doing? If you got a good love life, man, you got a perfect life. You got a blessed life. You got a fulfilled life. and things that God says is coming to pass in your life. The blessings of God are flowing in your life when you've got the love of God in your life. It's perfect. That word perfect there means full grown, of full age, brought to completeness or fullness. Isn't that what we're talking about? Talking about love? It's the perfect. It fulfills. Well, look, brought to completeness, fullness, wanting nothing. That sounds like the blessing. See how they all flow together? Why? Because love is the conduit. The blessing flows through. They go together. They go together. Wanting nothing. I like that kind of life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall want for many things in life. But when I get to heaven, it'll all go away. All the want. No, thank God. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not. How shall you not want? Love. Love is the perfect. That word perfect, one of the meanings is wanting nothing. I'm talking about from the Greek language. Wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 19, the Bible says, to know the love of Christ, that's what we're talking about this morning. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. That's pretty full. Filled with, there's that word fullness again. There's love, there's fullness. They go together, don't they? And notice, this is a prayer. Let's go back here, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. See, he's praying for the church. Gets on his knees. He says, I pray, this is what I pray over you. That you be granted according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Thank God, God's spirit will strengthen your inner man. And if you got a strong inner man, it's going to affect your outer man. It's going to affect every part of your life because your inner man is your spirit. And I mean, that's the engine of all that you are. So if the engine is strong, man, we're ready to go, right? It's going to affect us physically. It's going to affect us physically. A strong spirit can overcome a weak body. Thank God it can. He says that you'd be strengthened. This is his prayer, that you'd be strengthened with might. Might. Are we actually supposed to believe this? Might. Through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. See, man, when you understand God's love, when you comprehend God's love, let's back up. Rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. When you're rooted and grounded in love, your comprehension of God and all things is increased. As God's love is increased in your life, your comprehension is increased. You can comprehend better, comprehend more. Man, we want to be rooted and grounded in love. What? It's a perfect life. It's a life of fulfillment, completeness. Where nothing, there's no more disappointment, no more postponement. So he says that you may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, you could know it, but it passes knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Say, it's not something you're figuring out with your head. It's something God's revealing to your heart. and you know things that no way did your mind come up with that. No way did your mind figure that out. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, why? What's so big about knowing the love of Christ? That you may be filled. That you may be filled with what? With all the fullness of God. God, His Word, is fulfilled in your life. You're experiencing fulfillment. God-sized fulfillment. God-sized fulfillment. Hallelujah. That's what God's got for us. You see, and that was a prayer that he prayed. Because, man, it's something that is so... love. The love of God has been so neglected. Now, we need to understand faith. We need to understand, learn about faith, recognize what faith is, what faith isn't. Faith is huge. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But a subject that has been most neglected is love. Is love. And meanwhile, look at all that love is to us. Look what it means to us. It's the thing that's going to cause what we're in faith about to actually come into fulfillment in our life. When we get out of selfishness and get over into love while we're believing. Because again, you could be believing, but the motive is selfish. You got the promise, but you got the wrong purpose. The purpose can't just end with you, because you are not just you. You are not an island to yourself. You are connected to a body. You are connected to a body of believers. I mean, it would be as foolish for someone, a Christian, to be selfish in their believing. It would be as foolish for my thumb to want something and the rest, it doesn't care about the rest of the body. No, the thumb affects every other part of the body. And every other part of the body wants that thumb working nice. Because if that thumb isn't working nice, everybody suffers. Everybody's walking around. Everybody, this hand's over here consoling it, right? I got a little cold yesterday. I was outside a little bit too long. My fingers started getting numb, so my whole hand, other hand, came into the rescue because this hand was kind of couldn't feel anything in the fingers. This, oh, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. I mean, everybody was there. Blood was flowing. Everything was moving in there to try to make it work. My mind, my brain cells, everything was like, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. We just love the thumb. It's a team, man. It's a team. You're part of a team. You are not an island to yourself. And I care about you. And we care about each other. We care about each other. We care about people we don't even know yet. We just care about, we want to see people saved, people we don't even know. We want them rescued. We want them out of darkness. We want people in the light, right? Because we're incomplete until we see all these people being rescued and helped also. See, a part of our completeness is the completeness of others. It's others coming into the kingdom and coming into what you and I are experiencing. That's why we have to prosper. We have to be in health because we've got to serve God. We've got to serve Him long and strong. Because we aren't just thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about our purpose. What's our purpose? To glorify Him and to affect other people's lives. That's His purpose. God's not selfish. I said, God's not selfish. He's caring about other people. His purpose is to give of His life to others. That's what love's all about. Love isn't complete until its outflow equals its inflow. Love isn't just taking. It does take. It does bless itself. But it doesn't just end with itself. It gives out. It gives out. It's like breathing, right? Inhaling, exhaling, inhaling. That's how love works. Receiving, giving, giving. There's actually a law of giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And we got to get good at that. See, we got to get rooted and grounded in that. We got to get rooted and grounded in this love of God. That it's not just all for us. We got to move from the selfishness, move into love, and that's where we're going to see a completion and a fulfillment of the promises of God in our life. And God's saying, I'm going to put all this stuff to rest, all this talk about someday, someday, someday. And what he's doing through Ezekiel is trying to stir up the body of Christ, the church, the people of God, trying to stir up the people of God to get into the now. To believe, they receive now. And how do we do that? We recognize not only the promise of God, but we understand the purpose of God. What's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose for the promises of God coming to pass in our life? It's to be blessed and be a blessing, right? To be blessed and to be a blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Don't you want to grow in the blessing? We got to grow in love. We got to grow in love. Now, I do want to say this because I don't want anybody leaving with the idea that healing, deliverance, blessings cannot flow in their life until they are perfect in love, until they are like walking in love and there's nothing unlovely going on in their home. Because the devil will come and say, see, now I'm allowed to afflict you because look at the unloveliness. Look at the unloveliness, see? So we got to get a hold of something here. We're talking about getting to a place where we're rooted and grounded in love. But we don't have to wait until we're rooted and grounded in love to see the blessing of God flow in our life. Because God is love. And God is in our life now. Isn't that right? God's in our life now. And he is love. So the time to receive love or put a demand on love the most is when things are at their most unloveliest. When things are unlovely, that's when we need to put a demand on love. I feel unlovely. I don't know, we don't get in condemnation about it. Don't sit there and go, now the devil can eat my lunch. And the blessing can't flow in my life because I feel mad. No. That's the time to put a demand on love. Huh? Put your faith in the love of God. Put your faith in the love of God. Put a demand on that love and expect God's love to rescue you out of that situation. I don't have to wait until I mature in my love walk and living in an atmosphere of love before God's covenant of healing and protection is a reality in my life. God is still love even when I'm struggling with being lovely. Did you get that? God is still love even when I'm struggling with being lovely. Say, I'm struggling with being lovely, but you are love and we're in a covenant together. And I thank you for taking care of this situation. Now, there's a place we can get to, rooted and grounded in love, where we just keep the atmosphere so charged, it's like having an electric fence around your life. The devil comes over and he just touches the fence. And he leaves. You didn't even know he was out there. That's nice. I like that. The electric fence of love. Be a great message. Right? That's what we're looking. We're building an electric fence of love. But right now, it might not be wired. And your fence might have a lot of issues. But thank God, God is still love. God is still love, and we turn and look to him and put our confidence in him that he will come through even in the middle of strife. Right? In the middle of strife, you can cast out devils and receive life. Because God is love. God is love. Can you say amen? He is love. And so we put a demand on his love to come and rescue us out of all tribulation. Hallelujah. As we continue to grow in being more lovely ourselves. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. We're going to receive communion this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.